Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Greetings to you this day, my sisters and brothers, saints and sinners, and children of God. It is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and our Lenten journey is halfway through. It's more than halfway through. But on Wednesday, the world lost one of my favorite writers, the British fantasy, science fiction, and humor writer, Sir Terry Pratchett, who died at 66 years old. Now, he's known for a wide variety of works, but is best known for an extensive series of books generally referred to as the Discworld novels. Now, Discworld is a whimsical place. It was created with no apology for its use of mythology, magic, and creatures from all walks of fairy tales. And it's a flat planet that flies through space on the back of four massive elephants, who in turn stand on top of the great star turtle, Atwin. Now, if the entire premise of these novels sounds ridiculous, indeed, that is not lost on the nature of the novels, which contain often humorous, sometimes poignant, stories that are more often as not statements on our world here and our society. Now, a particular note in Sir Terry's creation of these wonderful stories, and in the height of his career, he did publish three novels a year, is the fact that the novels that he produced over the last few years, because in 2007, 8 years ago, Sir Terry Pratchett was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. And yet, after his diagnosis, he went on to produce five more novels. Indeed, as sad as the loss of this fantastic author is to the world, is the continued time that we had with Sir Terry to grace us with his incredible talent. Now, in addition to these other fantastical things about Discworld and the wonderful man who created it and the amazing gifts that he gave us in creating it, even through his Alzheimer's, is the defiance in Discworld of common laws of physics. And for instance, one thing that I want to bring up is the speed at which light travels in Discworld. Now, people who know physics know that light in our universe travels some 100,000 kilometers an hour. I'm sorry, a second. It's a lot faster than that. But due to the magical nature of Discworld, light travels no faster than the speed of sound, which is about 300 or 400 miles an hour, which gives rise to some very interesting observations about its speed, such as this quote from Terry Pratchett's 1991 novel about death, Reaper Man. Now, light thinks it travels faster than anything, but it is wrong. No matter how fast light travels, it finds the darkness has always gotten there first and is waiting for it. Now, that quote might take a little bit of thinking about, but just as it is true for the Discworld, it might also be thought of as true for our world. Because no matter how you look at it, darkness was always there first. It always existed where the light has not found its way. And this is just as true for science as it is for Scripture. Because from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And then God said something. What did God say? Let there be light. Thank you. Thank you. And the light was called day, and the darkness night. Now, and just as in Terry Pratchett's novels, So also in our scripture, there's a double meaning for light and darkness. And in scripture, the darkness, even though it was God split day and night, darkness yet remained. And all throughout the history of the world, one found the powers of darkness driving people to do all sorts of things that are in opposition to their basic goodness, the way that God is calling them to be. And we read different stories again and again about where darkness has caused people to turn away from God and on each other, defying God's commandments and causing despair and discouragement in mankind. And here is where I will now depart from Terry Pratchett's Discworld novels, because there's a big difference to be found between his novel and our world. Because in Scripture, there comes a point where there is a new light to be found on earth. And as we reach the world that we discover in John chapter 3, in today's gospel reading, people are just beginning to learn about that light. But even as they're beginning to learn about that light, Jesus' journey has already been going on for a little bit of time. And in this Lent season, we've heard about Jesus being driven into the wild right after his baptism. And then the misunderstanding by his disciples, wherein Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And just last week, Jesus takes the whip and drives the merchants from the temple. So we've had some action-filled encounters, some excitement, and there's sometimes trouble for Jesus. And so here we are, the fourth Sunday in Lent, and we reach with some comfort this wonderful and oh-so-familiar verse from John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And yet even with those words of hope, we go on, we learn some stuff about condemnation and judgment. And these words might easily frighten some people reading them or hearing them, particularly if those people are worried about their own state of being with regards to their behavior or activities. And so we have to look back and see where this particular passage takes place within the Gospel of John as a whole. Now, with our minds on light and darkness, it might be helpful to know that John's gospel is written with John's mind on light and darkness as well. Even from the very beginning, we discover the light in chapter 1. And everything that takes place from beginning to end takes place either in the day or at night or in the evening or in the morning. And things that take place during the day, for instance, following this passage in chapter 5, Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman at a well. And those things that take place during the day take place are events that talk about revelation. They talk about understanding. But this chapter, which begins when a Pharisee, whose name is Nicodemus, who sought out Jesus to learn from him, takes place at night. And Nicodemus, far from understanding what Jesus is talking about, is confused by his words. When Jesus tells him he must be reborn, Nicodemus asks, "You mean I have to go back into my mother's womb and come out again?" He doesn't understand the wisdom that Jesus is providing. And even right before we start our gospel, Jesus asks Nicodemus, "How, as a teacher of Israel, can you not understand this?" Jesus tells Nicodemus and us that the light has come into the world and that people love darkness, that evil thrives where the light does not shine, because that light exposes the harsh things that people do. He even begins by talking about the children of Israel, like we heard in our first passage, and their own wickedness and how Moses rescues them on God's command by building a staff with the bronze serpent. And all they need to do is look upon that serpent, and they will be healed from the bites of the serpents that have been plaguing them. And in that respect, our passage from Numbers that we started with becomes very telling in Jesus' own words, that the Son of Man himself would be lifted up. And God's children need only look up to that Son of Man to find relief from the evils that plague them. The light of the earth, the Son of Man and Son of God, is raised on the cross, and faith in him will drive out that darkness that surrounds us. And certainly, as Paul reminds us in today's letter to the Ephesians, that through God's great love for us, we are saved to be raised up with Christ. That only through God's grace, and not through anything that we can ourselves accomplish, that we are saved from condemnation. Because as Jesus told Nicodemus then, and he is telling us now, God so loved the world. God loved the whole world. Loved the whole world. That he sent his Son not to condemn it, but to save it. And so the discomfort that we might find ourselves reading some of these words that Jesus said, that we like to gloss over about when talking about it, about those who love the darkness and are afraid of their deeds being exposed to the light, about judgment and condemnation, it's some scary stuff, and may in the wrong hands be delivered to the people of God in a way that introduces fear and not hope. But I am here to tell you today, sisters and brothers, that Jesus did not come into the world to deliver bad news. This is the gospel, the evangelion, the good news that was delivered by him in the flesh 2,000 years ago, and is good news delivered by the Scripture and the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Yes, the darkness was there first, but the light does at last reach it and overcome it. Darkness is the realm of that which we cannot on our own control, but with the light of Christ in the world, the darkness is banished from our midst. The light shines from the risen cross, and the darkness has no power over us any longer. And God's wondrous, unconditional gift to us is that grace that enables us, via his Holy Spirit, to bring that darkness to heal in our world, that we may live out as disciples in the world. And even when it seems that we must choose the lesser of evils in order to combat evil, there's always another choice. One need only remember the words from Dr. Martin Luther King: darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And so when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, who loves us, we are no longer subject to the earthly powers and authorities that for all good intent may be underlying them, which all too often make decisions based on short-sightedness or to correct long-term problems with short-term and often hazardous solutions. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we are guided by his loving light and are reminded by his living example that the world must change and that evil has no place among light, that politics and empire are no match for living a life on the cross. And when we find ourselves doing things in his light that fall on the wrong side of public opinion polls and are subject to invective, to name-calling, and possibly worse, we do as children of our living God need only look to the light and know that we underlie all our doings with compassion and love, and God is supporting us in our endeavors. Darkness can only be overcome with light. And even as we do God's work in the world, know that we, God's children, are lifted up by His love here and in the world beyond. And that, my sisters and brothers, is good news. Amen.